This is Slashdot Review for Tuesday, October 26th. My name is Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute summary of highlights from recent contributions to Slashdot.com. And rounding out the program, we'll have a featured song from GarageBand.com artist Aronson from Biloxi, Mississippi. Now on to the headlines. You know, just in case you're curious, there are some amazing things that your automobile cannot do. In many vehicles nowadays, you can check your email, view websites, even watch television, all from the comfort of your driver's seat. That is, of course, if you live in Europe or Japan. DSL Modem has submitted a New York Times story to Slashdot on nifty automobile technology that's not going to come to the United States. The report suggests that legal liability is a significant reason for not offering various driver-distracting options in the U.S. The post-nuke open-source CMS has been attacked. Velour 10 writes that this morning the developers of the free software content management system PostNuke posted a security announcement saying that a vulnerability in the PA file database download management software allowed an attacker to put up a hacked version of PostNuke for download. This version was live on the PostNuke download site between Sunday and Tuesday. Proprietary software zealots are always saying that open source programs are likely to contain backdoors, but is this situation truly what they mean when they say that? NewsForge, which is a part of OSTG, has the story. Distributed denial of service extortion attempts are on the rise. John Flabasha writes, there's an excellent article that originated on the LA Times and was syndicated to Yahoo News about distributed denial-of-service attacks on online gaming and one of the solutions out there. Slashdot has run a number of previous articles about denial-of-service blackmail attempts. Firefox is shooting for 10% of the market. An article on Slashdot points to ZDNet Monday, featuring an interview with Bart DeCrem, the Mozilla organization spokesman, who said that by the end of next year, they expect to have 10% of the browser share. We have the momentum, he said. He attributes some of the success to faster browsing and a lack of software bloat, and suggests that other open source projects might see similar success if they trim features. The article also quotes some very interesting figures from ZDNet's own web servers. About 9% of ZDNet visitors were using Mozilla in February, now it's 19%. The average for OSTG is about 30% overall. For developers, the Gambas 1.0 release candidate is now available. Raindog 2 writes that after 2.5 years of development, Gambas has become the first Visual Basic-style environment for Linux to enter release candidate status. Anyone who's been frustrated by a lack of production-quality free RAD environments should give it a try. There's some updates from Debian. A couple of people had noted that Linux Lookup is reporting the third update of Debian GNU Linux 3.0, codenamed Woody, which mainly adds security feature updates to the stable release along with a few corrections to serious problems. Those who frequently update from security.debian.org won't have to update many packages, and most updates from security.debian.org are included in this update. Another reader writes to Slashdot saying that it looks like the Debian project just released their old stable distribution, Woody, with a huge number of security updates, some removals, and some less critical bug fixes. It's been a long time that we had to wait for it. The last update was in November of last year, together with the break-in. And finally, FireCarlos76 writes, that's what's holding up Debian Sarge from release to stable. So it's lazy maintainers. No access, just a few issues with security and bugs being quashed. Maybe you can help speed things up, especially if you're a maintainer, as your package will be left out if release candidate bugs are not fixed. The Sarge release status update is available on Debian Help. Jumanji Boy writes that Roy Wundt, the principal engineer at Intel Research, has a pretty good technical overview of RFID up at Q. If you ever wondered how those little things actually work, it's worth a read. For instance, this reader was intrigued to find out how the tags, which are generally battery-free, can absorb enough energy from RFID readers to power up and transmit their own signal back to the reader. In the world of science, nuclear rockets are moving along. A.K.A. Akayam Batman writes that Bruce Bearhorst of NuclearSpace.com recently stumbled across a new engine from everybody's favorite jet engine maker, Pratt & Whitney. Unlike Pratt & Whitney's previous engines, however, this engine is not a jet and is powered by nuclear fission. It seems the Pratt & Whitney has responded to the need for Mars transportation by inventing the first commercially viable nuclear thermal rocket. They've been heavily improved upon the Nerva NRX design from the 1960s and have even solved the graphite ablation problem. With this new engine, it seems that an inexpensive trip to Mars is now firmly within our grasp. The question is, will we rise to the challenge? Jazz Step writes that an article on MSNBC introduces an interesting new duo on the robotics front. iRobot and John Deere have teamed up to create a new battle-ready robot for the Pentagon. Virginia Tech supercomputer is up to 12.25 teraflops. GawkNet writes that according to CNET News and various other news outlets, the 1150-node Hokie supercomputer, rebuilt with the new 2.3 GHz X-Serves, now runs at 12.25 teraflops. The computer, the fastest computer owned by an academic institution, should still be in the top five when the new rankings come out in November. In other supercomputer news, the Cray XT3 is now shipping. Anza writes that using AMD's Opteron processor, it scales to a total of 30,580 CPUs. The starting price is $2 million for a 200 processor system. One of its strongest advantages over the standard Linux cluster is that it has an excellent interconnect built by Cray. Sandia and Oak Ridge National Labs are said to be amongst the very first customers. In the world of IT, Sender ID has come back from the dead. NW writes that Microsoft's Sender ID standard has been left for dead since rejection earlier this fall by the IETF. But according to a Reuters story, it's been revised and will be resubmitted to the IETF. Along the way, Microsoft managed to pick up AOL's endorsement of Sender ID. There's a link on Slashdot then to the blog of NetWizard with further details. Slashdot Review offers a way that you can call in with your comments. I hope you'll take a look and consider participating in this site. All that's required for you to add your review of a recent Slashdot item is a phone call to 732-357-3682 or a network-based SIP phone call to 747-667-3306. There's a new Apple iPod with photo capabilities. From the money-burning hole in your pocket, Apple has the solution department at Slashdot. Art Lou was the first of many to submit. I was just watching my Dow Jones streaming newswire and saw that Apple is releasing a new iPod which will have photo capabilities. The news stated the new iPod will be able to hold 25,000 photos as well as your traditional iPod functionality. Apple has a page up, the iPod photo, and of course a press release linked from Slashdot.com. Don't forget that Slashdot has book reviews. As they say, don't choose your books in a mental vacuum. Take advantage of reader-submitted book reviews and link discussion of science fiction, science programming, and other topics. For example, Blaine Hilton's review of Hardware Hacking, quote, walks anyone through the process of modifying common electronic hardware. Joshua Malone's review of Samba 3, by example, offers practical examples of Samba 3 for use in a small or large office. Tony Williams had a review of Running OS 10 Panther, a well-balanced instruction, both graphical and command line, for intermediate or better Mac OS 10 users. And John Miles did a review of Twisty Little Passages, the definitive survey of interactive fiction for the literati and the rest of us. There is an XM portable satellite radio receiver with hard drive. Dave Plott writes that XM announced today the new XM MiFi. The handheld MiFi gives users the personal freedom to enjoy XM Radio's ultimate playlist of more than 130 digital XM channels in two ways, a live listening mode and a time-shifting memory mode. The MiFi's live mode enables users to listen live to all of XM's 68 commercial-free music channels, plus premier news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather. MiFi's memory mode, called MyXM, allows users to store 5 hours or more of XM's outstanding comment with the press of a button, even when the unit is not in use. MiFi makes it possible to enjoy XM satellite radio anywhere, anytime, effortlessly. The new information is at XM411.com. And that's it. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Tuesday, October 26th. My name is Andy McCaskey. I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader, and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share-alike license, as detailed on Slashdot Review.com. Slashdot Review audio is published Monday through Friday, and occasionally on Sunday. Now, today's featured album track is from the garage band artist Aronson. The track is Deja Vu. You can find more music from this artist at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review.
We were walking, we were talking, we were moving, we were dreaming. She got down and she got over, she got groovy. She approached and said, "You've taken me for granted, baby. I think we should appreciate each other in the instant. We've been through all of this." Deja vu is at our door. I said, "No, wait a minute, hold on here, now hold on, baby. I do not get your reference, I admit it, no comprende me." She said, "If that's the way you feel, it looks like you don't need me. I won't be hanging around, I'll be back and I'll be leaving. I don't get what I just did." She said, "My head's like a sieve, but don't know, baby. Been through all of this before. Deja vu is at our door. Hey, if she wants to stay, will that be fine? And if she wants to leave, will I?" It's hard to find. But if she wants to leave, well, I don't mind. We were moving, we were dreaming. She got down and she got over. She